We're lucky that New Orleans was one of the largest cities throughout most of the 19th century. And in the 40s, we were the third largest city in the United States. So we have a huge wealth of historic architecture. But in addition to that, we saved our original city in 1936 by creating the Vieux-Carré Commission. Charleston had created such a commission, and then we were number two in the country to do that. So that anchored our surrounding neighborhoods. So while people were fleeing, the population was still going down, down, down. There were many people who loved the city and its neighborhoods and its architecture.
You mentioned that New Orleans lost more of its population before the storm. Can you talk about that?
It was typical in all cities. It really was public policy coming down from the federal government to put expressways across historic neighborhoods, to subsidize the returning GIs with mortgage loans that could only be used for suburban development.
From which war?
World War II. The GI loans. You couldn't get that. You wouldn't qualify. Your building wouldn't qualify to if you bought an old building. It only wanted one on a slab with a driveway and a carport, and et cetera, things like that.
So the federal government wanted to modernize and get rid of all the old buildings because it didn't see the value of
Well,
them.
basically destroy our cities and rebuild, which the word city comes from civilization. So it is your culture and your civilization. But when you couple that suburban development with literally bulldozing acres of buildings and building expressways, and they creating zoning that would take a large house and convert it into 12 apartments and things that encouraged that. It was a problem. So in 1966, finally, they realized that federal programs and policies were destroying our cities. So they created the National Preservation Act of 1966 that said that any federal program or policy in any place, if historic buildings were involved, it would have to go through the Section 106 review. That has saved a lot of buildings. It's not perfect at all, but it kicks in wherever there is any federal money involved for anything. The State Preservation Office has to review it or sign off on it.
So I want to get to the storm. You talk about the bright spots in the history of preservation, but clearly you founded this organization with the idea of accelerating that.
And preventing the demolitions. They were rampant. But I say that the city was really in great shape comparatively when the storm hit. In August of 05, people had been moving back into these neighborhoods big time.
Can you describe your process of assessing the damage?
I was not going to evacuate until the morning before, and then it looked like it was going to be pretty bad, so we said we have to evacuate. And some people did refuse to leave, and what wasn't anticipated was the flooding.
Because the levees broke.
Yes, the levees broke, and that's a controversial thing, but three-fourths of the city was flooded. But the old neighborhoods were along the river on higher ground. And except for the Holy Cross neighborhood, which is below the Industrial Canal, which collapsed. But the newer historic neighborhoods, like that developed in the later 19th century, early 20th, they did get water. And since I got in touch, somebody got in touch with me with the Baton Rouge newspaper and said, "We're going to do a media trip to go in the city." This is a few days after the storm. "And would I go, like to go?" And I said, "Yes." And so I went and I saw it with my own eyes. It was empty. The whole city was empty. Unfortunately, people in buildings that had no damage whatsoever were forced to leave by the National Guard. And I don't know why that happened. But anyway, people didn't know what was flooded, what wasn't flooded. So I came back and I typed up an email about what I saw. And many people were just so relieved to know that their house wasn't flooded or blown away, because nobody knew. But then people did sneak in. I know one person who came in and with lots of blue tarps to put on roofs, and he just went around putting them on people's houses because we couldn't come back. And there was roof damage in areas that didn't flood. It was a bad storm. And our state historic preservation office did a survey to see if our National Register district could be expanded so they would be eligible possibly for federal grants and so forth. So they were at work doing that. And then the National Trust for Historic Preservation right away jumped in and said, we must do everything we can to save New Orleans. And so we started, we immediately contacted mold experts and had workshops on mold. And you have to let things dry out. People were unaware. The old wood floors, for example, that did get wet, especially in Holy Cross, where we did have some water seep into Holy Cross below the canal, it buckled. But we were there to tell them it will dry out, the wood will go back down, and then you can refinish your floors.
It'll take its shape back.
Yes, and we went out to a house in Gentilly, which did get a lot of water, but it had some older houses, early 20th century houses, and one person had taken up his floor and his subfloor because it had gotten wet and it looked horrible. And he had taken up the floor in the next room, but not the subfloor. And we said, you don't have to take anything up, just let it dry out. So that was the kind of word we were trying to get out to people. And we did have to remove the plaster, any plaster or sheetrock that got wet. You had to. Well, some plaster might have survived, but definitely you had to remove any sheetrock that got wet.
A lot of the old New Orleans is plaster. It seems like that's a dying art in terms of construction, but it's part of what sets these buildings apart from, strip malls across the country, right?
Yes, it is. I'm glad you love plaster and have an appreciation of it. We try to promote that. We got a grant once from the Prince of Wales Foundation after the storm to train people, young people, in these arts. There is a real interest in doing that because the plasterers are dying out, especially the ones who produce the beautiful molding. And it's a challenge to make sure that people appreciate and understand the value of what they have in an old house.
Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans and miss her each night and day? I know I'm not wrong, because the feeling's getting stronger the longer I stay away. I miss the moss-covered vines and the tall sugar pines where mockingbirds used to sing. I'd love to see that lazy Mississippi just hurrying into spring. Moonlight, moonlight on the bayous.
That was luck.
Creole tunes fill the air. Oh, I dream about magnolias in June. I keep wishing that I were there. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans when that's where you left your heart? And there's one thing more, I miss the one I care for more than I miss New Orleans. Come see, come south.